Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, a broker here at StoneX. I work with farmers and end users, speculators and hedgers. We work in the futures and options markets, OTC and structured products. And for our hedging clients on the producer side and the end user side, provide cash consulting services too. I do all those things. If you have any questions about how you can work with me in StoneX, please let me know. My phone number here is 312-706-7610. My email is craig.turner@stonex.com. And if you are a client and you hear anything or in this podcast or read something in a newsletter, if you want to make some changes, need to put something new on, just let me know. Anytime you can call, text, or email. If you like the podcast, please go to iTunes and give us a positive review. And if you want to check out Turner's Take Newsletter, if you don't already, just go over to turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. You can check it out there. So, busy week. We're just going to talk about two things. It'll be the grain markets and Ukraine and Russia. So we might as well start on the macro side. Ukraine, Russia. There's been this buildup here, and we finally had the invasion. That we've been talking about since before the Olympics started. So at first, I'm going to include myself in this group. We thought that Russia would just kind of take those eastern sections of Ukraine that are right on the border there with Russia, which has a lot of Russians in there that were already fighting a war apparently, or insurgency there for quite some time, and kind of thought that'd be it. It felt that way, same way that we saw with Georgia and kind of Crimea, where the invasion happened, they secured what they wanted and they let it go. For whatever reason, this time's different, and I think that really caught the market off guard, which is why we had such the big moves when it seemed like Russia was escalating with the Ukraine and really trying to take over the entire country. And we'll see how that works. Now, when that happened, I think the market got really a lot of jitters there. The Ukraine and Russia export a lot of wheat. Ukraine exports a lot of corn. Vegetable oil is a big export between both of those countries on rapeseed and sunflower. So it's a big deal. Especially in the ag space. Now, when we talk about sanctions, it makes energy a big deal too, because what happens if sanctions are put on Russian energy? So here we have, I think crude went up to $100 at one point. Soybeans were in the 17, maybe 17.50. Old crop corn was $7. Wheat went up to 9 and 10 between winter and spring. Canola, new crop canola went to 900 metric ton. Old crop canola, I want to say it was close to 1050, 1050 per metric ton. So hitting some real highs. Palm oil made all time highs, during this period. So everything was just seemed to be on fire. And then today, yesterday and then into today, we had the reversal. Because the markets just got too hot, too fast. And now when I take a look at the charts, wheat was down 80 cents today. We've had dollar moves or more in soybeans. Let me bring up some of these charts here. It's really been amazing. And I've been getting that questions about, why the market's like this, what's going on. The volatility is extreme, which it is. The volatility is extreme. Let's take a look at the March wheat here. March and Ukraine is primarily exports and grows winter wheat, the hard red winter wheat, but Chicago will act as a proxy for that too. We had a high of 950 in the overnight, and then we had a low of 840 this morning. The March wheat contract looks bearish on the chart. It looks like a big technical reversal, but the 20-day moving average is still at 796.5, 50 cents away. We're still 50 cents away, and we're still above the 20-day moving average in wheat. So just something, you know, I mean, so even if we kind of pull back, you know, a pullback is going to be a dollar and a half pullback in wheat and still be above from high to low if we go to $8 above the 20-day moving average. Let me just take a look at soybeans here. Soybeans at 1590, down 70 cents today. Almost got to 1770. We're definitely 1750 yesterday. 20-day moving average is 1575. So we're still above the 20-day moving average in soybeans. Chart doesn't look great either. Actually, looks quite bad. Soybean oil. March soybean oil, the same. Actually, that was a classic reversal. Higher open, lower close than the day before. Take a look at the March soybean oil chart. Doesn't look great. And again, 20-day moving average is still at 66.5. That's over 2 cents lower from here. Corn. Let's bring up July corn. Getting close to the 200-day moving average. I can get a March corn. Let me get March corn up here. March corn, just so we're in the front month, July too. It all works. Bearish reversal, higher open than yesterday, lower close than yesterday. Big red bar on there. We closed around 660. 20-day moving average, about 645. So we're still 15 cents. We can still go down 15 cents lower and be just touching the 20-day moving average, which I think for me, that 20-day moving average is going to be the first level of support if we can hang there. Now, we closed on a Friday. A lot of longs from anyone who was buying Tuesday in the beginning of the week, really, because we had the long weekend and Russia invaded and the markets gapped higher and we were off to the races. We're pretty much back to where we started in corn on Monday night, Tuesday morning. We take a look at wheat, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, we're still 50 cents higher than where we were last Friday, even with all this volatility. Soybeans, 1, 2, 3, 4, are right back where we started pretty much. You know, so wheat's still 50 cents higher, but corn and soybeans have pretty much come all the way back for the most part. And we're still above the 20-day moving average. They have a saying, bull markets always let you in. If you think the grain markets are still bullish, this is what they mean. I'm still neutral to bullish grains. I don't know about right this second. The technical damage looks bad. And you kind of have to respect that. But also want to talk about South American weather and the ag form. But because there are some interesting stories developing there too. We have elevated prices, and I think we should have elevated prices. I don't know if we need to go back. I mean, these highs may last for a while, and it may need lower acres or yield issues because of weather over the spring and summer to potentially hit any of these highs again. So let's go through that real quick. South American weather is improving, which means the corn crop down there, second crop and majority of it, is going to be decent. As bad as soybeans were, and they were, and as bad as the first crop corn was, and it's not great either, the second crop corn should be better. So that should be, you know, that's not going to cause corn to crash, but it is going to be, you know, it is going to be a little bit of an issue for the bulls to get back up to, let's say, like $7 in corn. Now, is there a reason to go below $6 in old crop? I really don't think so right now. And I don't see a reason why new crop would go much lower than, you know, the market. I don't know why we would be breaking down below 550, and a 200-day moving average is 540. So, I mean, I don't see the point right now of corn going down there. We need the acres. We're still going to have some tightness, even with the South American crop kind of improving a little bit. There's still going to be a lower production, most likely, than estimates thought, because the first crop, which is only about 20 or 25%, of corn down there at Argentina, Brazil, didn't do so hot. I would say that the other story here is wheat. Ukraine still has to get wheat out of the country, and they have the ports shut down. Ukraine doesn't sell a whole lot of corn this time of year. It's already been sold out. The thing is, it hasn't shipped everything and still needs to ship corn to China. And the longer the ports stay closed, the more China's going to have to come to the United States and buy corn. So there's still little bullish things in here, certainly, but there's also a little bit more bearish news to come out too. So it's going to even things out a bit going forward. Now, we're going to have bullish cards coming out of the deck, bearish cards coming out of the deck. We got high prices, tight stocks, means volatility. So it reminds me a little bit of 11, 12, and 13 and last year, where you can get some pretty wild swings between now and the 4th of July. The ag form. Let's talk about the ag form for a minute. So the ag form came out. That was yesterday and today. The big day is Thursday. They released the acres, trendline yields, give some little song and dance on supply and demand, and that's our starting point. What's interesting about the ag form is I think the most important thing in that report is where they're seeing acres. And I kind of like to think where, you know, and where their supply and demand also lies. So let me bring, let's see if we have this. I've got it up in front of me right here. For the acres, the acreage report, they had wheat at 48 million, which we knew pretty much. I think that was between the, we saw winter wheat seedings, and I think we have a pretty good handle on spring wheat. So 48 million overall. 48 million wheat acres is the highest we've seen since 2016. And what that does is, does take some acres away from corn and soybeans. Remember how much wheat rallied in the fall and how well it was doing too. So that's one thing. Two, we got corn at 92 million acres and soybeans at 88 million acres. So corn came down about 1.4 and soybeans went up about 0.8 million. Wheat acres, all wheat acres improved 1.3 million. And I'm guessing we see more double crop wheat corn, particularly in the eastern corn belt. And what it does is wheat plus corn plus soybeans puts us at 228 million acres, which is the highest it's been since at least 2015. So when we're taking a look at this chart here from the USDA, we had last year, we had 180.6 million acres of corn plus beans. This year, we're going to have 180 million. So it rarely gets above, rarely gets above 180 million acres. And, you know, 181 is really hard to, a hard number to get to. Usually we average closer to like 178, 179, 180. So that's where we are. We're kind of maxing out corn and soybean acres. When you take a look at the balance sheets with the USDA and what they're saying, you know, they have wheat building to 730 million. So we actually have a build in wheat. Now that's on a 49.1 yield. Anyone who looks at this drought monitor, I don't know where we're going to have a 49.1 yield. Things can change. You can get a lot better weather and soil moisture and yield in the Western belt and the Southwest. But right now that's not what's being suggested. So we'll see if that's, if that really is the case. So that's one thing that jumped out at me. Corn at 92 million acres and harvesting 84.2. USDA has a 181 yield. Now, we had a 177 yield last year, which was, I want to say, below trend, yet an all-time high. And now the USDA is calling for 181, which would be 2 years in a row of all-time highs, which could happen, but it's kind of rare for that, for that to be. What's more interesting here is the USDA is lowering exports to 2.35 billion. Ethanol is staying kind of strong at 5.4 billion. You know, feed stays pretty strong at 5.65 billion. I question the export number a little bit. I do think the exports are going to be a little bit higher. I don't, also not necessarily sure that 92 planted and a 181 yield is going to happen with the fertilizer issues and the high prices that we're seeing. One, I kind of think that if fertilizer is hard to get and prices are so high, and you know, do we have 92 million acres? And then if we do, is there enough fertilizer and chemicals to get that 181 national yield? So I'm a little suspect on that. If all that comes true, though, USDA is calling for a 1.9 billion carryout. Stocks usage 13%. You know, and that means like the harvest, you know, harvest lows all of a sudden are sub five, you know, for, and could even be going lower into the mid fours, you know, when we get into, you know, October. I don't, for new crop, I don't see that happening. I think it's more likely that we're 91, yields a little bit more lower, and exports are higher. On my balance sheet, I've got the USDA, I've got it closer to 1.2 or 1.3 billion, and prices, you know, pretty fair right now where we are. And if we have lower acres, weather issues, or increased demand, we're going higher. I do think what it says is between now and, but I respect what the USDA says. They make a point. They make a good point. I think what you have to realize is there is a bear case out there. South American weather is getting better. And we, you know, there is potential for a big crop next year. So it's going to cause volatility. And when the markets get this high, the markets get thinner, big news and big trading days, all the bids and asks basically, you know, just evaporate from the depth of market and you get these huge moves. So something to keep in mind on corn. I still like corn. And I do think if I'm, I wouldn't sell the breaks here if I'm a farmer. And if I'm an end user, I would be looking to, you know, we get closer to the 20-day moving average and the 40-day moving average. That's probably a buy zone. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that on the spec side too. And if I'm a farmer, I'm probably using those dips to buy some calls or call spreads to sell into later this spring and summer when, you know, you need to sell a new crop. And I'll still be doing that. Let's also bring up finally soybeans here. So soybeans, 88 million, they have a 51.5 trend line yield. I think that's pretty reasonable. They have beginning stocks at 325. The crush is 225. They have exports at 2.150. And they've got an ending stocks of 300. I think their exports are low for old crop here. And I wouldn't be surprised if ending stocks were sub 200 instead of 300 for old crop, which would mean new crop is also sub 200. Because the, what the USDA has basically said is by having 88 million acres and a trend line yield, we only, ending stocks from year over year only change 20 million. They go 20 million over. So honestly, the art, what I would say is, we pretty much don't change. You're at 88 million in a trend line yield. We pretty much use as much as we consume, and ending stocks stay the same. I personally think the USDA has not fully accounted for the South American losses and the exports that come back to the United States. I don't think I'm alone there, which is why soybeans can run as high as they do. I do think that chart looks bad, and it's going to take some time to consolidate in the soybean market and probably in the corn and the wheat if we're going to rally again in the spring here. So I'm not saying the party's over, but we should have a wide range of consolidation until we know more about plant, about acres in March, which isn't that far away. It's about 5 weeks away. So that's, and that's where we are on the soybean market. The last one I want to talk about is soybean oil. Soybean oil is, I thought, was the most bullish of the bunch on the Ag Forum on Thursday. When you take a look at domestic use, it's going higher. When you look at biodiesel, biofuel use, it's going higher. Food, feed, industrial had actually come down a little bit, which I think will be tough to do. They had exports coming down a little bit and imports going up. Basically, what the USDA is saying, and had average price be at 68, with the UN ending stocks of 1.8, I think. And while all this is going on, we're having tighter and tighter stock to usage on soybean oil. The USDA is trying to account for the, basically this build in biodiesel and biofuels. It also has the United States importing twice as much soybean oil as it did just 2 years ago to meet this demand. I don't know where this vegetable oil is going to come from, right? If it's not soybean oil, I mean, I don't think they're making up for it, you know, from some substitute of canola or palm oil or, you know, European, you know, rapeseed and canola or Russian sunflower. I don't know where this oldest oil, this vegetable oil is supposed to come from. What does look interesting is the United States will be exporting less of bean oil, which I think that's definitely true. We're going to have, compared to 3 years ago, bean oil exports are going to decrease by over half, 60% lower in a 3 year span. And you take a look at the exports for meal, the exports for meal are building. I wouldn't be surprised if the exports for meal get very aggressive and we'd really go from an exporter of beans to more of an exporter of meal and keeping all the oil home or most of it. And what does get exported? Maybe it goes, you know, to North America. It goes to Canada or Mexico or something closer by. I just don't. It's hard to argue for a big export number for soybean oil again in the future, as long as biofuels exist and they start building that up. So those are my major takeaways from the Ag Forum. So we had the whole the Russia-Ukraine conflict, which is ongoing. We got to see what the Ag Forum thinks and the USDA thinks. Those are economists, and they haven't fully incorporated the South American damage into what's going to happen with U.S. demand. But we can now start building models and think where things may go. So I'm going to wrap it up with basically that analysis. Based on where I think we are and based on what the USDA said, I have corn ending stocks sub 1.5 this year and next year. I think at 92 million acres and a 181 yield, I wouldn't be surprised if we add more exports in for corn this year and because of Argentina and the not a ton of corn, but some corn that we lost. I bet we're about 1.3, 1.4 for old crop this year. And I think for next year, we don't move. And we'll need a 92 million acre and a 181 yield. So if we get weather issues and the market's ever starting to price in, let's say the market starts to price in a 177 yield, which would be matching the all-time high from last year, ending stocks are a billion, right? And then all of a sudden, $6, $7, $8 corn is justified. And that's just at a 177 yield on 92 million acres. That's how I think things go. A lot of time left in. I mean, and I can... If a bear wants to say, you know what, Craig, we're going to be above 1.5 because, you know, we're not going to get as many exports and, you know, we will have 92 million acres and trend line yield 181 is another question, then you're right. Then you know, we are. But what's interesting is that can be the difference between $5 and $8 corn. So you can see all these little changes here, right? And you can have, if we go two bushel yield, every bushel, you know, what every acre we go up or down is worth 180 million bushels. Every bushels per acre we go up and down the national average is worth about, you know, 80 million on there. So like if we have a variance of 1 million acres and 3 BPA, bushels per acre, which isn't a lot, it's like 1.5% or something like that, that could be the difference high side, low side of $5 and $8 corn. So it's going to be volatile. It's going to be very, very volatile between now and the 4th of July. For that reason, it's amazing how small changes is going to really affect the balance sheet here. In my opinion, right? We'll see. Things can change. In soybeans, I think we're sub 200 on the carryout just because the damage is real and we haven't fully accounted for the soybean exports that the United States will probably do in the second half of this year, or it'll just get switched to new crop, have a bigger new crop or an earlier new crop season as South America sells out, number one. Number two, 88 million in a trend line yield with increased exports still needs extreme price rationing. Like when I just, sometimes when I change my numbers, like I change my numbers from 88, 51 and a half, accounted for some of the reduced exports here. You know, I have a minimum pipeline this year and next year because of the South American issue. And if we're only doing 88 million acres and a 51.5 yield, we're not even using as much as we produce. Like we're actually having another draw on ending stocks, I think. So again, high volatility. It's too early in the year to go to $17 in old crop. But if we have only 88 million acres and we start getting weather issues and people think the yield is just 40, you know, instead of 51 and a half, you know, we're 49, which isn't out of the question. I mean, that's a big deal. That's, you know, we're losing another 200 million in production. You can't lose 200 million in production when you're only forecasting 100 million in ending stocks or 150 million ending stocks, right? So that's a big deal. If for some reason, you never know, we could be at 53 bushels per acre and we have 89 million acres, all of a sudden ending stocks are at 300, right? And you know, and prices can ease, and we could go back to $12 or lower at harvest. Maybe, you know, if we get above 300 or 400, let's say we have 90 million acres of soybeans and we have a, you know, a 53 and a half yield, and the USDA is right on the export thing, then we could go down to 10. But it's a huge variance there. I think it's much more likely that we're probably in this for old crop, we're in this 14 to 17 range for a while, and for new crop, maybe 13 to 15. Until we can know more about acres and demand. So it's going to be wild. And there are going to be days where we see these prices and you're like, wow, I can't believe the market's moved this much. And then you're going to look at a daily chart and it's not going to look so bad. And I think that's what happened. And that was, you know, an exercise I used to go through a lot last year, and also 11, 12, and for the first half of 2013. So, that's where we are. I still like using spreads. So if you need to take a bullish position, I still like buying call spreads and selling put spreads. And, you know, if we get the big run-ups and we need to protect ourselves, and, you know, we buy put spreads and sell call spreads, that's how I'm going to continue to do it. Otherwise, it's going to be very volatile and hard to stay with any kind of thing in futures. And just buying a straight option is going to be very expensive. And writing an option, a naked option, is going to present a lot of risk. So that's how I do it. If you are a farmer, if you're an end user, if you're speculating, you want to go over how we're going to be trading the markets. And really, it's going to be between, like, say, from the February 25th, between now and the 4th of July. That's going to be the game plan. We're going to have a lot of volatility. There's going to be a lot of opportunity in there. And we need ways to figure out how to stick with trades, be able to buy the dips and sell the rips. So have a great weekend, everyone. If you need anything, let me know. Otherwise, I will be back on Monday. Thanks, everybody.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse, any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.